Charles, I made you an unofficial pledge, and unofficial pledges are terrible because even official pledges aren't necessarily preserved. That we're going to do one class on each makkah. This one's dumb. And I don't mean the pun, if you know what I'm saying. This is the Rebbe Siach and Makkah is dumb. Now, you understand how this works. When the Rebbe spoke, He really did. He spoke so much. And he never ran out of material. You know, the old story, when the Rebbe had his heart attack, one of the doctors asked the Rebbe, who asked to speak, of course, how much time does he need? And the Rebbe said, me? I can talk and talk and talk and talk and never run out of material. And it's true. And of course, what the Rebbe talked was Torah. There's all kinds of Torah in the Rebbe's stuff, which is very exciting. But there wasn't a class-like structure to the Rebbe's style of teaching. In other words, the Rebbe didn't teach like I'm teaching you. I come back every week, and you know what's going to happen, because last week we started, and this week we continue. The Rebbe spoke about whatever, whenever, however, whatever he wanted to talk about, he talked about. And of course, frequently the Rebbe's discussions had to do with time and current events. So, it's not like the Rebbe said a pirush on Chumash. The Rebbe said a sicha here, a sicha there. He said so many sichas over so many years that you could compile what amounts to a commentary on Chumash. Or, to use a different allusion, which I love, is a commentary on Rambam. Certain pieces of Rambam have so many sichas of the Rebbe on it that you almost have a running commentary on the Rambam. But it wasn't designed that way. The Rebbe didn't talk that way. The Rebbe didn't speak to produce a book. People took his writings and compiled them into books based on topics. I just got yesterday in the mail a 3-volume set of the Rebbe's commentary on Rambam, just from 1985 on, or 84 on. In other words, what the Rebbe spoke on Rambam, once he made the takkan of learning Rambam. If you collect all the Rebbe's talks on Rambam, you can make a 10-volume set. It's an enormous amount of material. Is it a commentary on Rambam? No. Why? Because there's whole sections that he misses. And there's other places that he repeats himself and repeats himself. Because it wasn't written as a commentary. And the same is true as Pirush on Chumash. What we are doing is learning sichas from the Rebbe on the story of what we call exile and redemption. That's our scheme. That's our theme, as I call it on my site. But the Rebbe is always cooperative. You understand? The Rebbe didn't sit down and say, okay, I need to help Rabbi Paltiel give a series of classes, so what do I need to give him? It didn't work that way. Particularly when it came to the edited sichas, because the edited sichas were prepared by an editorial board who had a limitation, one sicha a week. They could choose any topic they wanted. This is what you asked me last week. How come there's no sicha in Kinim? I'm sure there is. It never made it into Lakut HaSichas. You understand?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't designed to be what I'm making it into. I'm taking the Rebbe Sichas and creating a form. But I'm doing it artificially, which is why you'll find that some ideas the Rebbe talks about over and over again, and other ideas he barely touches. Because the Rebbe wasn't trying to do what I'm doing. He was saying Sichas and whatever, whenever, however. We're piecing it together. We're restructuring it to make it into a narrative, into a story. So as we go through the 10 makas, the only pledge I'm giving you is that we're going to do 1 week per makkah. Tzfadeh, I think, has 3 sichas. I'm going to have to pick one of them. I'm not doing Tzfadeh 3 weeks in a row. Okay? We'll become Tzfadeh. But you just need to appreciate that we have to a little bit innovate. In other words, to make the sichas of the Rebbe string together as we want them to string together, we need to be creative, use our imagination, because the Rebbe didn't necessarily, the Rebbe didn't intend officially, directly, to go through the story of the Chumash piece by piece, aspect by aspect, because then there'd be everything. He just spoke whenever, however, wherever, and we're piecing it together ourselves. And this week also, the sikhah that the Rebbe has in Makkas Dam is really very, very tangential. It doesn't explain the plague of blood directly. Rashi, for example, says about the plague of blood, 2 different things in 2 different places. The first of the 10 makis was dam. We know that the purpose of the makis was various things, at least 3. It was to get the Jewish people out of Egypt. It was to teach the Egyptians about God. And it was to teach the Jewish people about God. How do I know that? From a sicha we learned a few weeks ago. Okay? So the 10 makis were meant to be, besides for the technical need to get the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, they were meant to be educational. Educational to Mitzrayim and even educational to the Jewish people. That was the design, pardon me, of the 10 makis. So since the design of the 10 makis was to be educational to the Mitzrayim, educational to the Jewish people, you want to understand what that education involved. So it actually says two different things in two different places from Medrash. One of them is that the 10 plagues follow tachsisei melchama, tactics of war. When two nations fight, there is an offense and a defense. There's a nation that goes on offense, a nation that goes on defense. And of course, if you know anything about the history of war, you understand the advantage of offense and the great risk in offense, the great advantage in defense and the great risk in defense. The advantage of being on defense is that you're concentrated, right? One of the great risks of being on offense, especially if you're doing blitzkrieg, is what's called flanks. You're exposing yourself. When you go on offense, you play risk. Yeah, you can either put all your pieces in one place and hope you spin the die successfully, or you can go out on a limb. Going out on a limb means you can conquer the whole world in one turn, only in the next turn to lose it all. Right? So there's advantages to offense and to defense. So war has tactics. There's a whole series of steps. The Medrash describes the 10 makis as the Eibishter's tactic as an offensive warrior. The first thing you do as an offensive warrior is you cut off the water supply. If you go to your opponent, assuming your opponent is living in a walled city, of course today walls don't help much, but in the ancient world, walls helped an enormous amount, so you lay a siege. You surround the city and you sit there. Now if you surround the city and sit there, the people inside the city can shower down on you all kinds of wonderful gifts, like boiling hot oil and cannons and arrows, and they're protected by the wall, right? They can stand on top of the wall, you have a hard time approaching the wall, and so on and so forth, correct? But there's things you could do outside the city. If their water supply is coming from outside the city into the city, you poison it. You cut it off, and the people die. You can't live without water. So the first of the 10 plagues was blood. It was affected their water supply. It's a tactic of war, very simple. There's another Rashi in another place that says something else. The Nilus, the river, the Nile, was their god. And when the Eibishter attacks a nation, he starts with their god, with their religion, with what they believe. So joining together those two Rashis gives us an insight into the significance of Makas Dam. The meaning of the water, of the plague of blood, was to affect the Egyptians where it hurt them maximally. Both practically, both agriculturally and spiritually, God attacked their way of life from a perspective of agriculture, and he attacked their way of life from the perspective of what they believe was the source of agriculture, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I've explained to you in the past, that in general, pagans, idol worshippers of the ancient world, the Rambam writes this, almost all of pagan worships reflect how people lived, Parnassa. Now, it may have been crazy to worship the sun, but it also makes sense, because if there would be no sun, we'd have a couple of problems, you know what I'm saying? Actually, we wouldn't have any problems, because we wouldn't be. So this is how we know from other Rashis the significance of Makas Dam. The only problem is there's no sichas on those Rashis. On what Rashi is there a sicha? On the end of the Makkah. The Makkah lasts a week and then it stops. So let's read. Okay? Vayimole Shevas Yomim. Vayimole Shevas Yomim. The 7 days were completed. Achere HaKeis Hashem HaSayir. Once Hashem had smitten the river. What a great word. Smitten. There's smite, there's smitten, and then let's make up smote. Okay? Why not? Mefarish Rashi. Rashi interprets. Is it such a word?
Yes. It's the past tense of smite.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good. I have good luck. I have mazel. He smote the Egyptians. Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I need an iPhone on me because it's technical.
In the olden days, you need dictionaries. Now you need telephones. I get it. Oh, good. We'll look it up. Oh, you'll look it up. Vayimole minyan shivas yamim. Translates Rashi. There was a completion of the number of the 7 days. Shaleishav hayayel lekadmosei. During these 7 days, the river did not return to its earlier condition. And then Rashi continues. After he tells you that each makah lasted a week, and the Yabal Shivas Yom means at the completion of that week, Rashi holds, and by the way, this is an issue of enormous contention and controversy, when did the makas happen? When did the makas happen chronologically? Now we know when makas b'chedes happened, right? The night of the 15th of Nisan. When did the plague of darkness occur? When did the plague of locusts occur? Now I want to tell you how this works. Let's say you give each makah a month. So the plague of darkness happened Purim time, a month of Pesach, which would be March. So the plague of locusts happened in the middle of February, which is not bad, right? In the middle of February, there's what's for locusts to eat. But the one before that would be January, would be butter, the hail. Now, January is early in the winter. The hail destroyed only those crops that had hardened. Right? Remember, it broke the wheat and the spelt, it didn't break the barley and the rye, and didn't break the wheat and the spelt or something like that. Why? Because they were soft. I feel they say that. If you put butter in January, the grain is in such an early state of development, the butter should have damaged none of it. So it gets tricky. What time of year the plagues occurred has to match the agricultural conditions on the ground to explain what happened. You understand? So there's a lot of opinions about this. Even according to Rashi, Rashi holds every makkah was a month. If every makkah was a month, the first makkah was the Sivan before, the previous May. A whole year earlier, 10 plagues. But nobody agrees that the last couple of makkahs took the firstborn died in a minute, not in a month. The assumption is that the plague of darkness took place at the very end of Adar, like around the Shchedesh Nisan. And there were actually 2 weeks between Bara, between Choshech and Makis B'chedesh. So then Arbe, locust, would be in the beginning of Adar, which would be the beginning of February, the beginning of March, the end of February, and then Bara would be the beginning of February, which makes sense. You get it? So it's a bit tricky how you figure this, and the different Mepharshim argue quite intensely about the makas. Rashi seems to establish, as a matter of fact, that every makkah was a month. Now we also know from Chazal, and Rashi mentioned it someplace, that from Rosh Hashanah the slavery stopped. Okay, the Yid left Mitzrayim Pesach. Rosh Hashanah to Pesach is 6.5 months, correct? According to Rashi, if every makkah was a month, so makas b'chedes was Pesach, right? Let's say Choshech was a Shchedesh Nisan. Let's say. So according to that, so Arbe would have been Eshchedesh Adar, and Barad would have been Eshchedesh Shvat, Shchin would have been Eshchedesh Tevis, correct? Deve would have been Eshchedesh Kislev, Arev would have been Eshchedesh Cheshvin, so what comes before? Kinim would have been Eshchedesh Tishrei, which meant Tzadeh would have been Eshchedesh Elo, and Dom would have been Eshchedesh Av, right? Of Elul Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Tevis Shvat Adar, and then the beginning of Nisan and the middle of Nisan. It works. Which meant that Mitzrayim went through 2 plagues and kept the Yidden working. Auschwitz was still making screws for their airplanes when the Egyptians had water to drink. Hard to visualize, yeah. Right? It's possible. If you say that every plague was literally a month and you got to go back to the middle of May, doesn't sound right. That Egyptians should go through 4 plagues and the Jews should still be slaves doesn't sound realistic. 2 plagues, we can hack it. Maybe. The first 2 plagues, Dom and Tzvadeya, the Jews were still enslaved. By the time I got to Kinim, they just couldn't hold the reins anymore. They have a freedom, they'd say they can go home, but they couldn't make them come to work, they couldn't whip them, they couldn't make them do their quotas with the mud bricks, the Gan Semais. Okay, sound right? So this is coming to life. It sounds like a real story. It makes sense. So we're going to accept what I just told you, that Dam happens in August. It's pretty dry in Egypt, right? It's the summer. The river is probably in a low state. I don't know when the floods happen, but I don't think it happens in the summer. Maybe it does. I don't know when the floods happen. The floods have to do with the snow melt, which is really, maybe it happens after Pesach. The floods happen in probably in in May and June, when the snow melts in the center of East Africa, right? We know where the Nile starts, right? We know where the River Nile, the Blue Nile and the White Nile, Zaganza Maiset, Zaganza Geshechta, but it starts 1,000 miles away. The river, the Nile, starts not in Egypt. It starts someplace in the center of Africa, of East Africa, correct? In the mountains. When the snow melts, all of a sudden there's a lot of drainage, and it drains down into the river. The Nile ends up in the Mediterranean. And that's when Israel has their annual flood. So I don't know what the world looked like in Chedesh in August. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of water around. Maybe it's a season of the flood. Maybe a little before, a little after. Bottom line is it turns to blood. And in this one act, the Eibishter is cutting off their water supply and challenging their God, their very basis for their civilization, their belief system. And it lasts a week. Says Rashi, Shahoisa Mecca Mishameshes Reviya Chodesh. Each plague lasted a quarter of a month. And then the other 3 weeks, Moshe was torturing Egypt. Right? You know how it is? You have aces up your sleeve, you have a card in your sleeve. The ace inside your sleeve is sometimes a lot more powerful than the ace that you actually put on the table, right? So for a week they suffered, and for 3 weeks Moshe played with them. I'm telling you, you don't do this. So now Fadi is thinking, you know, if you could do it, why don't you do it? And Moshe is playing a game, he's bluffing. He's drawing it out. And the Rebbe at the end of the Sikha will develop and explain the significance of this. Okay? So the first thing that Rebbe tells us is this. Go to page 35 now, second column at the bottom. Shoyne makas da mishara makas. There's something you have to know about the plague of darkness that technically, on the ground, practically, physically, makes it different than the other makas. How is that? Every single one of the plagues shares one trait except for the death of the firstborn. Death of the firstborn happens in a minute. Correct? All the other plagues lasted 7 days. 7 days. Now, Dever meant all the animals died, right? Also should take a second. Unless some guy had his animal in his stable and inside the house the animals wouldn't die. And if during the course of the week of Makas Dever some chacham decided, let me take my horse for a ride, he took him outside and he dropped dead. So the maka lasts a week. Each maka lasts a week. But all the other makas, hoysub oifen, they happened in such a way, shebechol yoyim v'yoyim, nischat shepulos ha-maka. Every day there was a new maka. In other words, it wasn't that in the beginning of the week Hashem did something and then it was frozen for a week. No. For a week, they suffered. Now imagine the wild animals showing up on a Sunday, yeah? On Monday, they were still marching around. And on Tuesday, they were breaking into people's homes and farms and making people's lives miserable. So that was a dynamic maka. The word dynamic means it was constantly changing. It was a week full of new stresses. You know, the Rashi about the Tzadeya. They hit a frog and got a bunch of them. And you get nervous, you hit one of those little ones, you got a bunch more. So it was ongoing. It was developing. For example, the plague of frogs, which lasted for a week. Now we're going to page 36. Every day they croaked. They frogged, right? All over Egypt. And life was really wonderful. You baked the cake and a frog jumped in. You baked the cake, the next thing you had another frog. B'makas kinin, the same is true about the plague of lice. Holchu v'rochashu, they got into their skin and into their hair and they just ate them alive. B'odma behavior b'chol yevyem, people and animals. V'alderach v'b'shara makas. All the other plagues, they lasted a week, they went on for a week. The difference, the word lasted and went on means that the same old negativity continued. Went on means it was always something new. Yesterday you met a lion, today you met a tiger, a bear, or a crocodile, or a who knows what. So by all the other plagues, we understand what the word vayimole means. It was complete. Climate, in other words, shir pula samaka, the measure of the effect of the maka, nismale b'shivas yom, ends at the end of 7 days. When Hashem brought frogs into Egypt, how miserable were they after half an hour? It wasn't wonderful yet. But after an hour, they were more miserable. And after a day, they were more miserable. After a week, they were as miserable as you could be. So that's what the word vayamale means. The Eibishter got his full mileage out of a maka. Because it got worse and worse and worse and worse. It compounded itself. Continue. Okay, because b'shivas ayam ha'isamakazu b'shameshes pe'elas ve'elechas. Ma'ashein keva makas dam. Second paragraph, page 36. What happened to the makah of blood? In 1 second, the water turned to blood. What happened next? It stayed that way. The first instant, let's say it was from Sunday to Shabbos, we don't know, we're just deciding, yeah? A week. All the waters in Egypt turned into blood. Finished. Wherever you look in Egypt, there's blood. What happens on Monday? Nothing. Happens on Tuesday? Nothing. All the fish died. One on Sunday, and they were dead. It stunk for a week. There was no, it was not a dynamic makkah. It was not a developing makkah. In the first minute, whatever was going to happen, happened. Like makkahs b'chedes. The firstborn died in a minute. What happened after that? Nothing. They were dead. Makkahs b'chedes, the water turned to blood. What happened after that? It stayed blood for a week. So the Rebbe says, the word vayimale here becomes problematic. What do you mean it finished? It filled out. The first minute it filled out. Then it just stuck around. You want to say something? Okay, so the Rebbe is going to talk about this momentarily. Let's see what the Rebbe has to say. Kimufurish bikra, as the pasuk states, vayimal izayin yom, there was a completion of 7 days, acharei hakreis Hashem, esayir, after Hashem finished hitting, smiting the river. Va'av shem beshachol shivas hayamim shalachrei kos hayoir. Even if you're going to argue that during the course of those 7 days, remember, what do we know about a river? What do we know about a river? The water never sits still. It's constantly on the move. There's a shailin halacha. If you go over to a river and you make a bracha shakal niya bedvari and you pull a cup of water out, it may be a bracha levatala. Why? The water on which you made a bracha is 100 feet upstream. This is a shailin halacha. The halacha is you're allowed to do it anyway, but for whatever reasons, but you understand the water is constantly moving. So in Egypt, the water turned to blood. There was an inundation. There was a constant flow of water from the south to the north, from outside of Egypt to inside of Egypt. So there was constantly new water becoming blood. Says the Rebbe, no, you can't say that. You didn't need a new makkah. So the waters outside of Egypt turned to blood. Since the pasuk says, "Kol ha'mayim asher ba'ir," all the waters in the river, u'me'aloshen hilke es yirasam, which I mentioned to you, and it's also referred to hilke es, it means he smote their god. Remember, I told you two ideas. One of them is the fact that their religion moving it onto such a makas dam ha'itzibachol ha'yair, the plague of blood affected the entire river, which is Nahar Nil, the river of the Nile, u'bechol mokam shenimtze yirasam, wherever their god was. He was smitten. Gami chutzlag v'las mitzrayim. If you see the water turning to blood as a tactic of war, as cutting off their water supply, so as the water comes from the south, whatever country is below Egypt, I don't know what it is, on the coast, on the west and eastern coast of Egypt, into Egypt, it turns to blood. But if you're understanding that he wasn't just cutting off the water supply, he was attacking their god, wherever their god lives, even in the highlands of Central Africa, it's also their god. So according to this, says the Rebbe, the first moment when the Makas Dam started, whatever the Egyptians worship turned to blood. Even the waters that would arrive in Egypt days later. Therefore, we're back to the original issue, that Dam is different than the other plagues because it's static, it's not dynamic. In 1 minute, the plague happened and it just sticks around for a week. Okay? Now, second column, and here we get to the point that you made. B'medrish Isa, in the bracket. You see the bracket? Page 36, second column, the underline. B'medrish Isa, it says in Medrish, I'm willing to say children, that Mitzri v'Yisrael b'bayis echad, an Egyptian and a Jew are in one house. V'agigis malei amayim, and the jug full of water. And the water actually has the chemical composition of H2O, and it doesn't have what blood has in it, which is, I don't know, iron and whatever other stuff it has. Okay? Now, Umitzi Meitia, an Egyptian goes over to this jug and takes out water, Malei Adam, he gets blood. Yisrael, and the Jew will take out that same jug and chase them, I will drink water. So, Vamitzi Aimalei, so the Egyptian will tell the Jew, Tenli biyotcha ma'at ma'im, take from your cup a little water and give it to me. As soon as he hands it to the Egyptian, Nasudam, they became blood. Remember, my teacher would describe it, and you can see the pictures in the Cheder Melamdim. Yeah, there's one cup, two straws. The Egyptian is drinking blood, and the Jew is drinking water from the same cup, unless he paid for it. This is in Medrash. How did they survive? This is the answer to your question. They bought water. So this is a Medrash. Now, according to this Medrash, Makas Dam is also dynamic. It's also changing, right? An Egyptian takes water from a Jew, so there's more blood. Says the Rebbe, Moirin de Kazakh, what you learned in school may not necessarily be Rashi's opinion. Aval Bepirash Rashi ain't called Zechel in Azen. No, everything we learned in kindergarten may not be true. No place does Rashi say that idea. Our teachers taught it to us, and he taught us in the kind of way that we assume that it's simple fact. It isn't. According to Rashi, that's not what happened. The waters of the river Danal became blood. And that was it. It became blood for the Jew, it became blood for the Egyptian. Where they got water from, they would dig. There's no basis in Chumash to say that when a Jew and an Egyptian shared the same water, for the Jew it was water, for the Egyptian it was blood. Because of Mefurish, it says in the Pasuk exactly the opposite. What does it say in the Pasuk? They began to dig next to the river, and they found puddles. And according to Chumash, when the Egyptians would dig near the river and find puddles, it remained water. And they didn't have to buy it from the Jewish people. Lishtes, to drink. Tapapay 37. Akla yach lishtes memi hayer. They couldn't drink water out of the river because it become blood. Shepirushehu, shamayim mechfires elo. They would dig these little trenches on the side of the river, find water that was under the ground. Hayeru uyim lishtes. They were able to drink them, v'shasoes, and they drank it. So back to the same point. The Rebbe holds that if you learn Chumash Rashi, this notion of this miraculous phenomena of a droplet of water being split in two and half being water and half being blood, because it depends who's drinking it, has no basis. So we're back to the original assertion. Makas Dam is different than the other Makas. It was static. It happened in a minute. Rashi says that you're right. The first moment of the plague, the completion of the Makkah already was in full manifestation. It wasn't like the other plagues that they got worse over the course of the week. In the first instant, whatever was going to be already was. So what is the meaning of the word vayimole, and it filled out? Shaleshav. It didn't go back. Shaleshav ayayel lekat Musa. The waters remained in that state, did not go back to their earlier state. Klei megam makazu, this plague as well. Even though it's a static plague, and the remaining plagues are dynamic plagues, was for a week. Hoisav Meshachal Shiva Sayyam, it lasted for a week. Ella Shaloy Hoisai De Pu'ula. It wasn't a continuing plague in a proactive way. Kiyim Be'efin Shili, indirectly, Shalei Shavai Elekat Musa, the waters of the river did not return to their earlier state. So we learned from the Makas Dam. Now, what is the meaning and the significance of this? I don't know. The Rebbe will not give us one. But the Rebbe will do something different. If the Makkah of Dam was in its full manifestation, the first second, what's the point of it lasting a week? And what is the point of saying Vayimolu? That it was filled out after a week. Okay? And we're going to finish this next week. Okay, so keep your copies.